How's your soul? When I think of my soul, I think of Greek theology, a Greek expectation of the separation of the soul and the body, body being bad, soul being good. Soul escapes, body dies. That's sort of what we get from Greek theology. Hebrew theology, Christian theology, is actually completely different. When Christian theology articulates what the soul is, it's articulating the wholeness of who we are. And when Jesus comes and conquers all death, and the dead are raised, we're not raising souls. We're raising bodies. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is raising the whole body to new life, into new creation. So we all receive a new creation of a body. So when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, his soul didn't rise from the dead. His whole body was raised. So when we say, how is your soul? We're not talking about how my gushy inner self separated from my ugly, sinful body is doing. We're talking about, how are you? And if we're talking about joy to our souls, we're not talking about joy to our spiritual lives. We're talking about joy to our whole. To help you through this series over the next 4 weeks, I've got a couple of devotionals. And who would be excited to receive one of these devotionals? Who's not really, really good with digital stuff? Because I've got this digitally. Lila, you just got too excited, but I won't throw it to you. I'll destroy somebody. Now, for this one, I want a contest. Who is so desperate to have something regular in their lives that they know that God really, really wants them to invest in this thing? Raise your hand. Oh, Daniel, you got me, Daniel. Here you go. These devotionals are put up at the Vineyard as a whole, and I'm glad to spread them out. And if you want a digital copy, just let me know after the service. In the Greek theology, what happens is you can add spiritual stuff. What's most important about Greek living is that you would add things, you would know things, and knowledge was the highest ideal. In Hebrew thought, it wasn't knowledge, it was being. In Western society, in American society, what we see often is, oh, I want to become better. I'll just add this thing. I'll just add this thing. Oh, I need to do more. I need to do more quiet times. I need to do more running. I need to do more of this, more of that. And what happens is often, well, it's like the way I garden. It's really, really bad. I took my children out into the yard, and we got seeds. And I saw some dirt. And I thought, seeds grow in dirt. And so I wet the dirt. It turned into mud. I put the seeds in the mud. The next day I came out, and it was like a concrete surface had developed. I thought by adding water and adding seeds that something might grow, that the soil by itself would be fine, even though it's been there for I don't know how many years. I don't know what's been growing there. Maybe Roundup was used at some point. I have no idea. I thought, okay, the seeds are planted. They're in there somewhere. I'll add like a fertilizer juice. You ever buy that stuff from the garden center? People, you know what the appropriate name is, but it looks like Coke without fizz. And you pour it on, and it's full of like natural things that are supposed to fertilize the dirt. And the dirt didn't change, and the seeds didn't grow. And I just thought, well, I'll just add more stuff. And someone told me, you know what's really good for soil? Coffee grounds. And we love French pressing coffee, and so we've got coffee grounds every day. And so what did I do? I took the coffee grounds out there, didn't care if they were hot or cold, and I just poured them on top of the surface of the dirt, and I expected something would happen. The carrots, the cucumbers, the broccoli, something, I don't know what we put in there, but it was fun, and we dug it up, and it was mud, and guess what we're left with? Mud, topped with nasty Coke-looking fertilizer stuff and coffee grounds that I water every so often, and nothing happens. This is often what happens to our spiritual lives. We come into it, however we come into it, with years and years and years of experiences, good and bad. And we think, oh, there's some religion. Let me add that on there. If I just smear it on there, something will grow. but the surface has already been hardened. You may have even added water to it, but it's just made the stuff congeal. Well, the religion didn't work, so I'll back off the religion. I'll get some other kind of religion. I'll get some Buddhist practice. I'll just put that on there. Something will work. I'll meditate more. That'll do it. No? Nothing grew yet. Friends, if there's anything that you would remember from today, I would love for you to hear that adding Jesus to our already cluttered soul will not produce joy. We need to be cleansed and transformed. I'm going to say this again. Adding religion to our already cluttered soul will not produce joy. We need to be cleansed and transformed. So Jesus talks about this in Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, and I want to read this for you. It should be up on the screen. Thank you all for your patience with our technology today. Jesus said, "A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." Let me pray for us. Jesus, we want to be open. Some of us have really healthy soil today. We are seated in your love in really healthy ways, but some of us are just kind of wondering what on earth creates joy in this world. And so would you reveal yourself through your scripture, through whatever I'm saying this morning? Would your joy come forward and be embedded in people's hearts? Would you make good soil this morning, Lord? I have an accountability partner. We meet about weekly or every other week. And I was telling him how I was struggling with this movie that I saw. And it was the new Blade Runner movie. Anybody seen the new Blade Runner movie? I love sci-fi. Don't go see it. I love sci-fi, and I love how sci-fi is able to describe sort of the inner workings of morality and all this kind of stuff. And so I was interested in watching the movie. And in the middle of the movie, I started to feel sick. Not that the movie was evil or that the people were evil, but that the story that was being told, that whatever was being poured into my heart by the dialogue of this film was not good. And after the movie, I about felt sick. And so I was talking to my accountability partner about it, and he said, "Oh my gosh, Blade Runner, I had to turn it off." And I went, "Oh, okay, so it wasn't just me. There was something in the tone of what was going on in the film that wasn't helpful to our souls." And it helped me to recognize that as much as I may want to dial down with a good action movie, as much as I want to do that, what I consume affects my soul hygiene. What I consume affects my soul hygiene. And so as much as I just want to dial down and watch a shoot 'em up, because it's fun watching things blow up, I have to recognize that whatever it is that I'm consuming is actually affecting the hygiene of my soul. It's actually not just affecting my body like the Western world, the Greek world would have you believe. It's actually in the being of that I'm having with this. It's affecting me. The wholeness of my existence, the wholeness of my experience with this film or whatever it is changing who I am. Not just my spirituality, not just my eyes, not just the sleep I'm losing by watching it. Netflix bingers. It's affecting my whole being. Friends, we will not be rooted in joy if our thoughts and behaviors are rooted in destruction. Now, you may see that word destruction, you go, "John, that's pretty harsh. It's just a Blade Runner movie." Okay. But there's a lot of death in that movie. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of death in our news. There's a lot of death in sexual practices that are engaged all over our media, and the expectation of sexual practices in relationships. It's destruction. Outside of marriage, it's destruction. And so when I say that we will not be rooted in joy if our thoughts and behaviors are rooted in destruction, I mean that we so often consume an expectation of behavior outside of God's boundaries, outside of His life, that the whole of our being is changing. And it's not being rooted in joy. It's being rooted in evil. And we all feel it. Tell me if you've walked out of a movie and felt different one way or the other. Raise your hand. Tell me if you walked out of a conversation with somebody and you felt different, good or bad. You watch the news, you feel good or bad. You look at a Facebook feed or a Twitter feed, and its being, its presence, you with the thing, changes who you are. And for some reason, some of us believe, no, it's just this. Music for me is huge. Oh my goodness. The music that you're hearing today during the break and after the service is, oh, this morning I was putting on my socks and weeping. Tell me that music, art, doesn't change who we are. Good gardening or bad gardening. Oh my goodness, if I go out, now we've made some good soil and some raised beds, we've done it right. And if I go out and I smell the leaves of the tomato, not the tomatoes don't have leaves, but the tomato plant, it changes who I am. My whole being is experiencing it. We are lying to ourselves if that which we experience day in and day out isn't changing our soul. And we will not be rooted in joy unless we change what we decide to experience. Beyond that, we have an opportunity to recalibrate. Ignatius of Loyola, a saint from the 400s, I don't have that date. Is that right, Herschel? Herschel knows all the things. Anyway, you knew him. No, that's bad.
He's from 378, born in August.
There you go. Happy birthday to Saint Ignatius of Loyola. He said, every day or multiple times during the day, there's an opportunity to do something called the examine, where we look at our consolations and our desolations, that which feed our soul and that which take away from the joy of our soul, that which help us root in joy and that which take away our joy. And he describes it like this. He says, I call consolation when the soul is aroused by an interior movement which causes it to be inflamed with the love of its Creator and Lord. Are you getting this? Isn't good worship music like this? Isn't beautiful art like this? I'm aroused and to be inflamed with the love of its Creator and Lord, and consequently can love no created thing in this world for its own sake, but only in the Creator of all things. I call consolation any increase of faith, hope, and charity, and any interior joy that calls and attracts to heavenly things and to the salvation of one's soul, inspiring it with peace and quiet in Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. That's a consolation. So the examine, as I practice it at the end of the day, I would say, Jesus, would you share with me a consolation from today? And I would ask him, Jesus, why was that a consolation for me? And then I would say, Jesus, what was a desolation? And here's how St. Ignatius of Loyola describes desolation. He says, I call desolation all that is contrary to consolation, as darkness of soul, turmoil of mind, inclination to low and earthly things, restlessness resulting from many disturbances and temptations, which leads to loss of faith, loss of hope, loss of love. Say amen if you have felt this before. I have. Some of you are feeling itchy right now because there's something of your soul that knows it needs to be changed and tossed. And Jesus right now, even by hearing his name, your soul is being changed. There's something that's happening in this room. It's also desolation when a soul finds itself completely apathetic,
tepid, sad, and separated, as it were, from its creator and Lord. For just as consolation is contrary to desolation, so the thoughts that spring from consolation are the opposite of those thoughts springing from desolation. Friends, I live processing with Jesus, not only those things that I experience just from being with people as consolation and desolation, but I am vulnerable, not just with Jesus, but accountability partners and counselors and coaches and anybody who I can be vulnerable with. These are the consolations that I invested in. These are the desolations that I invested in. And we examine together, what is the makeup of my soul? Is there joy there? Galatians 5:19 articulates, it's really straight on. Paul writes to the Galatian church, he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus, while he will follow us anywhere and grab us and take us by the hand wherever we're at, wherever you are today, knows very well that the soul was not made to live in joy experiencing these things. These are the things that take from our life and articulate, just as St. Ignatius did, loss of faith, loss of hope, loss of love. We become apathetic, tepid, sad, separated from the source of all joy, our Creator. Our behavior has the ability to threaten the activity of the kingdom of God in our souls. So as we talk about bringing joy to our soul, this is the work of what is called spiritual formation. And spiritual formation can often sound like a very inward thing, but let me tell you, spiritual formation doesn't work like that. The work of spiritual formation is to be more attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, where does the Holy Spirit live? In us. Places are made more holy, not because the thing is holy, but because the people of God, the holy people, are there. So when we say the work of spiritual formation is to be more attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to the world. First to us and then to the world. But it must be an intentional growth. Spiritual growth is an intentional daily pursuit of intimacy with Christ in all of life. And I've got a hashtag for you there. You like that? Hashtag welcome Jesus into all of life. I get to meet with a couple of friends every week, and we're going through this book on deliverance and healing prayer and freedom prayer. And we were going through this book, and there was a story of a young gal. And do you know that the scripture speaks of the truth of who you are in Christ? That you are free, that you are loved, that you are God's child, that you're an overcomer? All those things are spoken in the scripture, and this book is so good at articulating it. Well, the writer was talking about a situation where he was in front of a young woman, and he just put the list in front of her of all the things that the scripture articulated, the truth of who she was. And she started to read them. She started to shake and hesitate. And they wondered, what was going on? There was such a demonic and evil entrenchment in her soul that she could not, because her whole being is whole. She's not just spiritual, she's not just physical. She, like us, lived this radical tension, right, of being whole people. She could not physically see the words on the page. So as they recognized what was going on, they began to pray for her, just declaring Jesus over her, freedom over her, deliverance over her, and she was delivered, freed completely. And so she asked questions afterwards. She said, was that some special paper where the words were disappearing? And they said, no. This was the core of your soul responding to what was going on inside. You couldn't see physically the words. Raise your hand if you've ever had trouble reading the scriptures. I am with you. It's oftentimes that we don't recognize that there are spiritual forces at work keeping us from enjoying reading the scriptures. Can we think about this for just a moment? It should be easy to read words on pages. It should be easy to read words on pages written by people so close to Jesus that he entrusted them with his words. It should be easy to be excited about this. What is going on in our souls that keeps us from the desire to read these words? Friends, can we recognize for a moment that this is not just apathy? This is not just, I don't think the scripture's really relevant. That part of this is coupled with not only the condition of our soul, but all that works against our soul to divide us from our true identity, which is beloved children of God. We have a hard time reading the scriptures, I think, because our soul has been digesting so much junk that it can't, the joy of being with God, the joy of reading the word, has a hard time seeding in the mud that's been hardened over the years. Examining our lives means taking a good look at the hygiene of our soul. How is our soul? How is your soul? Galatians 6, Paul kept on talking to the Galatians. I read you chapter 5, and then in chapter 6, he said, "Don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." You're wondering what it means to have joy in your soul, what the fruit of that is. And in Galatians 5, Paul continues to say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things," he says. There's nothing that can fight against these things. The result, the fruit, the imprint of the soul on the world when the soul is directed towards the Spirit of God is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. What it means to be someone who's filled with joy in those moments means that that's what's coming out from being invested, from having your soil turned, from having it examined, from fighting in some points, in deliverance prayer and repentance and fasting and all those things that give us space in our soul for the Holy Spirit to come and cleanse it and break it apart. To identify what shouldn't be there and what should. To identify the woundings that were created from different experiences in the past. To identify the friends in our lives that, although we know we're supposed to be with them, cost us. To recognize how our time is being spent selfishly instead of on that which the Spirit desires. All of us want to be spiritually transformed. All of us and all of your friends, they all want to have spiritual lives that are vibrant and full and significant. I want to tell you something, friends. Transformed life will always result in mission. Transformed life always results in mission. And when I say mission, I don't just mean doing good things. Although Galatians 6, Paul articulates, we need to be doing good things, and that should be the result of the good soul. But when we say mission and when Paul talks about doing good things, he's not talking about doing them selfishly for our own good or what's in our interest in the world. He's talking about the dynamic rule and reign and activity of the kingdom of God. The transformation, the good spiritual life always results in participation in the kingdom of God. Well, John, what is authentic transformation? Well, this is what I want to leave you with. If you want joy in your soul, if you want a spiritual life that's vibrant, if you want soil that's ready for good things to grow in it, there's only one place that that happens. Authentic transformation means that your heart is rooted in the Father heart of God. And the Father heart of God for us is that we are His beloved children. We are His beloved children. There are two experiences I want to share with you where the disciples recognized this, where they experienced it, and you're not going to like a couple of them. But this is the truth of where real joy comes from. When we're seated in the Father heart of God for us, one of those places, like I said, is in mission. But what often happens in mission is persecution. When we're actively involved in the activity of the kingdom of God, it often means that we're persecuted. And in Acts 13:52, it said, "And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit after they were persecuted and run out of their town." That's when their souls were filled with joy. When they risked everything, when they abandoned everything, when they said, nothing else matters except that I am a child of God. I am His beloved, and I'm willing to risk my whole life for Him. The soul was then seated in the right place, ready for transformation. And then what happened? Joy. Another time was Jesus Himself. This is Luke 10:21. At that time, Jesus was filled with joy of the Holy Spirit. And He said, "O Father of heaven and earth, thank You for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and revealing them to those who are childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased You to do it this way." And this was after He sent out 72 really wet behind the ear people. And He said, "Go cast out demons, go heal the sick, go do all those things." And they said, these 72 who didn't know God very well said, "We saw Satan fall like lightning." When the mission of God, when the kingdom of God, when the dynamic rule of reign of God is out and about, it means that we get to have joy. So persecution, mission, but the other is worship, just being in His presence. I am the worst of all sinners in this. I don't leave enough space in my life to just be with Him because I'm always fighting. I'm always fighting the thought that I'm not enough if I'm not doing. As if my activity would prove my loveliness to God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 84, "How lovely is Your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, my soul, my body, I will shout joyfully to the living God." And then Luke 24, as Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, He blessed them, He left them, was taken up to heaven. And so they worshiped Him. And then they returned to Jerusalem, what? Filled with great joy. Just because they were with the risen Christ. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. Friends, we need Jesus. Our whole being needs Jesus, not just our spiritual lives, not just our bodies. We need Jesus, our whole soul, because He's the only one that can authentically bring joy. So I'm going to ask this morning, there are some of you, do you need deliverance? Are there places in your lives that have rooted themselves so deeply that they've hardened your whole being from experiencing God. For some of you, do you need to receive Jesus today? Is your soul been hungering to receive the Creator as its ruler and reigner? Where the mission of God could be the seat and throne of your entire life. Where you could receive real purpose and joy. Where Jesus could cleanse you, forgive you. Where you don't have to live for anything else except for Him. And your identity is clear. Do you need to receive Him today? Or are there some of you, and it could be through the examine, or it could be through something else. Are there some of you that need a daily space for the work of the Spirit? Would you stand with me, please? I want to invite you today, especially those who need deliverance. You recognize there's something that's happened in your life that has created a block, like a wall from experiencing God. We have prayer teams this morning that are ready to receive you. And not just you, but anybody with physical, emotional, any other spiritual need. These prayer teams are available to receive you in whatever condition you're in. To welcome Jesus into all of life. But there are some of you who have not yet begun the journey. And I want to begin that with you this morning. Would you all repeat after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. Forgive me. I believe that when you died on the cross, you died for my sin. And I receive that right now. I believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Guide my life. And help me. I belong to you. Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
If you have said that prayer this morning, if you needed to say it again or for the first time, I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be waiting right over here by this black curtain. And I want to see you this morning.